Paul writes these words, 1 Timothy 6:1, "Let all who are under a yoke as bondservants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and beloved. Teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." And our text again, verse 6, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." I have chosen for our meditation in the Word this evening to give you a recipe. I think it'll be a recipe you can use. I'm sure many of you have been either going to the recipe box all day long, maybe the last couple of days, or you plan to do it tomorrow. It's going to be a great day of feasting. We always remember Thanksgiving as a great time when we enjoy all that good food, and usually it's with the favorite recipes. I look forward to it. I know you do. But I think this is a far more important recipe. It's verse 6. "Godliness with contentment is great gain." A simple recipe for blessing. As I think of our early pilgrim fathers, and we often think of them at this time of the year, school children will often make the little cardboard cutouts and come home with them and have the story of Thanksgiving, how our pilgrim fathers had that meal and enjoyed it. And it's a great thing to recall that history. But I think they don't really get much of the story. It was not a time that everybody was really doused with blessings. It was a struggle. If you read the story of those early pilgrim fathers, they didn't have much. But what they had, they were thankful for. They endured great hardships. But in spite of the great hardships that they suffered, when they came together for that first Thanksgiving, they were thankful because their thankfulness was not linked to how much stuff they had. I don't think any of those of our early pilgrim fathers would have been good candidates for the Black Friday advertisements that are out there. You know, buy this, buy that. Oh, it's going to be a great deal. And, you know, immerse yourself with all the stuff that you can buy. Our early forefathers who there celebrated that Thanksgiving feast were thankful because their hearts were fixed upon the Lord. And like our text, they knew that godliness with contentment is great gain. And they had God in their lives. They were the ones that came over from Europe to establish themselves in the New World for freedom of religion. And from that small group of pilgrims and those early settlers, religion spread through this nation in those early years. And it was because they had the Lord in their lives, and they were content with that. A contentment that drew from the fact that they knew God as he was revealed in his word. And that's the recipe that we need to get back to, and we need to have for true thanksgiving. God in your life, contentment in your heart. When you think of those early forefathers celebrating Thanksgiving, not out of what they could see, but what they believed, they were thankful. They knew their scripture, they read it, and they celebrated God's blessings. And theirs was a genuine, wholehearted thanksgiving as an act of faith, believing faith and trust in the faithfulness of God. They were trusting God to go with them through those hardships in their lives and trusted that He would always, always, always be faithful to them. And so I think it's a time at this time of the year, not only just to look at all of the things we have for which we can be thankful, but do we turn to the Lord and say, we're thankful that we know Him, we trust Him, and that He has come to us through His grace and mercy in Jesus Christ? And do you believe in this one who is ever faithful to you, even in your life, though sometimes it may be a dark path that you must journey down? God still is faithful. Do you have God in your life? And that should be the message then that we transmit to those around us, rather than how much we can enjoy and stuff ourselves with turkey and all the other things that we do. Not that it's wrong to enjoy a good turkey dinner. I'm looking forward to it. But that's not what Thanksgiving is all about. It's to recognize the faithfulness of God, who is the God who will never fail His people. And we need to recognize that the living God is the one upon whom we depend. I think if we think of that Thanksgiving proclamation of Abraham Lincoln as far back as 1863, reading through it, did you hear in that proclamation his resting, his trusting, his recognition of the hand of God directing the course of this nation, even through that terrible conflict called the Civil War? He depended upon Him. We depend upon God. We owe Him everything. He is the giver of every good gift. Scripture is clear when it teaches us that. What we have is always a gift of God. And if we recognize that, then we will be satisfied and we will be content. And that's the recipe for the godliness that our text is speaking of. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It begins by recognizing that God is the Lord, the Maker, the Provider, the Ruler of all, the Redeemer of sinners. God is the one who takes dead sinners, makes them live by the gift of righteousness and forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ, and turns them into a people that He has called through His Son to be the people in whom His praises will be inhabiting eternity. And that is the heart and the center of godliness. We can't be godly without knowing God. We can't be godly without trusting God. And godliness is just the way of life that a person who is born of Christ and a person who is born of God lives. But the text says godliness with contentment, kind of like when you go to your recipes tomorrow and you have certain things, you always have something that you put with it, a spice or and something else. You know, turkey is not anything without stuffing. Okay? Mashed potatoes are nothing without gravy. Godliness doesn't exist just in a vacuum, but it brings to it true godliness. The second ingredient, contentment. Now, there are a lot of things that contentment is not. Contentment is not complacency. Oh, well, this is how it's going to be. You know, as though some invisible thing called fate has determined what I do get or what I don't get. So that, oh, my lot in life is that I have to just be at this level. But, you know, there are others who have been given so many other things. And there's sort of either a complacency or just looking at things as though fate were in charge. No. And it's not laziness. God did not save us to be lazy. I think that among our Dutch forefathers, that has been pretty well understood, and they've actually been given a reputation for being a very hardworking people. And I think that that's a good thing, because contentment doesn't mean that we just sit on our lees, or as the old saying goes, and be lazy. It doesn't mean you allow your family to starve. It doesn't require you to go in a corner and live like a caveman, apart from everything else. No, contentment has one central thing that holds everything together. Contentment means that there is a sense of satisfaction, but the right kind of satisfaction. That is, the satisfaction that's being willing to accept what we have been given as enough. What God has given us. Contentment means we don't let ambition take over, because that would just simply mean we're not content. Ambition is fine, but when it takes first precedence and takes over, it can be wrong. Contentment does not mean that we wallow in self-pity. No, we accept what we have, whether it's the blessings, whether it's our lot in life, and we're thankful for what we have received. Contentment inspires in the hearts of those who have it true thanks to God for his wonderful gifts. It rests on the foundation of God's revelation to us, as Jesus himself taught us in that prayer, that model prayer where he gives that petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." I think that's just a reminder when it says daily bread that you weren't to be like those who weren't content under the old covenant and they were given the manna. And what happened when they scooped up more than they needed and they kind of put it in their storage closet, you know, in their pantry? The next day when they went to the pantry, what was wrong with the manna? It rotted, because God said, gather what you needed for the day. And Jesus, coming now in the new covenant, says, give us this day our daily bread, recognizing that what we get from God is his blessing and that he gives us our daily bread, and he is the father of all good things. Every good gift comes from our heavenly Father, and contentment rests in that. And we can be content even in difficult circumstances. I have met many an individual in pastoral calling and through the years in various situations. I have met people who are content with their lot in life when they are in deep suffering physically, but they're content because they know that God has ordained all things. As I read that proclamation from President Lincoln, I sensed a sense of contentment that was expressed in his message, because he knew that we rested in the hands of an almighty God who was the one responsible for the blessing and the one who was guiding this nation through that course and that difficult hour that we now call the Civil War. Contentment. It's not laziness. It's not wallowing in self-pity. But it's being able to give thanks to God for what God has given us, and knowing that what God has appointed is sufficient and it is what we need. That should inspire thanksgiving. Godliness and contentment, I think, go together as a simple recipe for thanksgiving. Many have experienced it through the years. Our pilgrim fathers did. You know, if you would put yourself in their shoes, moccasins, whatever they wore, I don't know. I look back at that time in history and I wonder how I would have fared. Probably would have grumbled a little more than they did. But they were thankful. Thankful because God had blessed them in this new land. God had blessed them even to give them the bounty that they enjoyed at that feast, and bless them in the midst of all of the loss that they endured. His hand was still blessing them, and they looked to that and recognized it. An old German pastor in 1636 named Martin Rinkart also recognized God's hand of blessing and this contentment and godliness. He lived amid the darkness of the 30 Years' War, in a time in which people died literally everywhere. And Martin Rinkart, as a pastor, was said to have buried 5,000 of his parishioners in 1 year. Do the math, 15 funerals a day in your church. His parish was ravaged by war, death, economic disaster. It was a terrible time in Europe. And in the heart of that darkness, with cries of fear outside his window, he sat down and wrote this as a table grace for his children. These words, we sang them. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath led us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Here is a man who knew thanksgiving comes from knowing the love of God in your heart, not from the outward circumstances. So I want to remind you that we need that love of God in our hearts to know the contentment that we need to have to be able to give thanks. Are you content? Do you have that love? Does it overflow in your heart? Does it become for you then a recipe for you to be thankful in all things? Not only on Thanksgiving Day, but every day. That God gives life and breath and blessing. Take the recipe, put it to work. Godliness with contentment. It's great gain. Amen.